After an exhaustive week of treating patients with COVID-19, the good doctor went home. But this particular night, he could not sleep. He started coughing, and he took his temperature, and he had a fever. He immediately separated himself. He told his wife to go to the kids' room, and he self-quarantined. During the day, he felt himself get worse and worse. And he sent out to get medicines to treat his symptoms, but they only became worse. He got to a point that he asked for the keys of the car, and he went and drove himself to the very hospital that he worked at. The hospital did not admit him. And even though with his pleas and begging to get admitted, they did not let him in. Finally, they got to a point that he went to the first section of the emergency room, and there he lasted a little while, and then he finally passed away. This doctor that was treating patients with COVID-19, he himself died of COVID-19. The title of my sermonette is called Having Peace. Even before the coronavirus pandemic and the resultant global crisis, life for many was stressful and uncertain. But facing the onslaught of an invisible enemy, unprecedented emergency measures, everyone's anxiety level and stress exploded. This poor doctor, the hospital that he treated patients with didn't have enough ventilators. And the rooms were maxed out. That's part of the reason why they could not admit him. And like a disastrous hurricane, these crises spawned tornadoes of trauma for families and individuals around the world. Not to mention all the riots and looting and chaos that is happening. The crisis of 2020 have been compared to some of the worst catastrophes in history, including the world wars of the last century. We're just going through this morning, or a couple of days ago, we heard that there's a big fire in Northern California, and it's eating up right now. It's uncontrollable into Oregon. They have what they call a burn that's zero controlled. It's contained, in other words. They're just going to let it. They don't have the resources to fight this fire. We're told things will never be the same. The feelings of panic and lack of control and uncertainty fuel worry, fear, depression, and substance abuse. There's some people that are taking drugs and a lot of alcohol to try to damper all the turmoil that's going on. The CDC says it's natural to feel stress, anxiety, and grief, and worry during a disaster. You know, along with the pandemic, this area dealt with a hurricane not too long ago. And there's people, even to this day, that don't have jobs because of the hurricane. It is normal, the CDC says, to feel this way. But taking care of your emotional health during this emergency will help you think clearly and react to urgent needs to protect yourself. That's the CDC's interpretation. And if you think, on our level, and if you think that we have no harm will happen to us, we have another thing coming. It's been called the new normal. Do we have to just accept the unpredictability of our age as the new normal? Brethren, it is anything but normal. Amongst the turmoil, God has allowed us to find that inner peace. I'm not sure if everyone is aware of it, but that serenity During the stressful, uncertain times, we have been trained to cope with this adversity. We know where to find that peace of mind. Pandemics and disasters have befallen to many. The storm of calamity has fallen to those of us in the faith as well. One's perspective changes when you see the storm right upon you. Lots of times we might say, oh, that hurricane, well, it's in Louisiana, it's not going to hit us. But not too long ago, that hurricane was right upon us. It's different when you see it from afar. It's different when you see it right on top of you. When it's far, you can say, well, it'll never happen to over here. It won't come. It will never come here. When you experience the fear and the pain, the sickness, or natural disaster, like many of those that letter that we got this morning from the ministers, from I think it was Mr. Pinelli from Oregon. He's only what 15 miles away. You feel that it's a lot different there. Mark 4, if you can turn with me. Mark 4, verses 36 to 40. Now this is when Jesus was at the seashore teaching to the multitude, and they crowded him so much that he had to get on a boat. And we're catching it from here. Verse 36, it says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him, this is the NIV translation, by the way, they took him along just as he was in the boat. In the King James, says ship. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was at the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And let's go off on a minute here. In case you were wondering, the stern of the boat is in the back of the boat. Let's get back on. Verse 39. He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Verse 40. He said to the disciples, now get a note of this, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now this last sentence he said, is he didn't say it just because it was right off the cuff. We don't have to go there, but back in Matthew 8, where it says he talks with when the centurion comes to him and asks him to heal his servant, and he says, "Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to be under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus turns to the crowd along with his disciples and says, "I have not found any faith like this in all of Israel." So he has already proven to the disciples that there's about this centurion that has enough faith for Jesus to go ahead and heal him from where he's at. So he's asking, basically he's telling them, "You still have no faith." We have Mr. Mendez, and he runs a college education, vocational. And if you teach a person to nail a board, and he gets and you're with him to nail it, and then you teach him to nail two boards together, and he nails it, and then several days later you ask him, "Okay, nail those two boards together because we've got a job to do," and he can't do it. So there you can say, "Wait a minute, do you still can't nail two boards together?" Because you've been taught. Basically, the Jesus is telling the apostle the same thing. Now, these disciples were not green. They were seasoned fishermen. They had been through the storm, but they failed to see that they had the loving God, the power to create the earth, sea, and wind, and how to control them, and they still do not have faith. Surely, as far as us, we can see that Jesus has that strength, and he can surely calm and ease the storms of our worry, our doubt, and our uncertainty that plagues our mind. That's everyday trials. And one of the chief enemy of peace is worry. It's worry for ourselves, worry about our sickness, worry about the unknown future, and worry about those we love. Now, along with that worry, that agitates that worry, is some physical agitators. And according to the World Health Net, smartphones, their use does have an effect on our brain. They're always stimulating. And it's called, sometimes it's overstimulating our brains. Also, another one is internet. One study has found young people with internet actually demonstrated imbalances in brain chemistry. These findings were presented at a Radiological Society of North America. And according to the Harvard Medical article written in June 19, 2019, it states, digital devices can interfere with everything from sleep to creativity. It's called the infamous blue screen. Another one is uncertainty. You ask many people out on the average person does not know what the future holds. And obviously there's the hopelessness. That's another one. Many of those in California that have lost their homes, they've lost everything. There's one individual that lost his home in the fire of last year, and he rebuilt, and well, he lost this one too. Many feel that hopelessness. With no hope, they lean towards abuse of others and reckless endangerment. They have found, experts found. And all this is spurned by living in a fantasy. Many of the young people live in a fantasy. And experts have found, it says, one finding, all these studies that have this frame of mind, that people have this frame of mind, you may not be able to process emotions as the previous generations. Previous generations knew how to deal with calamity and how to process. But with the new games of, it used to be PS3, now it's PS5, I think now. Yeah, they have PS5 and they have the GoPro. Have you seen GoPro 7G? It's like if you and I were looking at each other. So people are in that fantasy world, and then when they get involved in altercations and they feel the reality of batons and mace, then they can't handle that. But that's part of it. Brethren, we are blessed. We are blessed to have that peace. Jesus told his disciples, "Peace I leave you." In other words, Jesus is telling in modern terminology, chill out. I got this. You can find that in John 14:27 if you don't have to go there. I don't know about the chill out part, but you can find, peace I leave you. He also said, cast your cares on me. So we have that. We're blessed with that, brethren. Now, don't take this to the other level. Don't get to care less. If you go into a pool and if you don't know how to swim, don't say, oh, well, you know, God has me. He's going to rescue me. And then you find yourself, you drowned, and you go to our Savior and say, well, why didn't you save? And God will probably respond, swimming lessons. We have all heard doing the right thing. It looks like it's a hearsay on the news and everything. But I bet if you ask the average person, the perspective is different. three different people you ask what is right, you know, you'll ask three different, you'll get three different answers. We, however, have been trained to do what the right thing is. The weightier parts of the law, the Sabbath and the holy days, we already got that down plan. We're working on love thy neighbor part. It's hard with all this turmoil going on. Philippians 4, if you can turn with me. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. And I guess this is, again, this is the NIV portion. In Philippians, Paul to the Philippians, he said, in verse 6, he said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Put your burdens on Him. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. This is the most important breath. In Jesus Christ. So we are not to stress out over things we cannot control. Ask God to help us with the things we can control. I used to ask God to help me control my kids. I don't know if that's the part that you can't control or you can. Follow me on verse 8. Let's read down farther on verse 8, and it'll be the punctuation mark. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, look at the glass half full. That will take you. Focus on the good things. And don't let anyone take your happiness away, brother. Cast your cares on God. He'll handle it. He created this universe. And have a faith and positive attitude. When He says, peace, be still, miracles happen. Brethren, fear God and keep His commandments.